This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Philippians, the epistle written to the Philippians, chapter 3. And there's a passage of Scripture here that I want to share with you, and I'm sure it's familiar to most of you, and just spend a few minutes sharing and using this as a platform as we are about to go from one year to the next. You know, many people focus this time of year on resolving to do certain things in the coming new year, and I've never been one who was big on New Year's resolutions. Studies have shown that most people who make a New Year's resolution break it by the time March gets here. But I want to share with you a principle from a biblical viewpoint that'll help you not only in going from one year to the next, but just growing in life in general. And it's something that we always have to keep in the forefront of our thinking. But you'll find me in Philippians chapter 3. And here, Paul the Apostle, writing a letter to this Gentile church, said something that we need to understand. And, you know, I'm the kind of person, I like to spend time studying the Scripture so that I understand it, not just so that I can regurgitate it at any given moment. You know, it's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's quite another thing to understand what it says and take that truth and apply it to your life. But notice Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul the Apostle, writing to this Gentile church, said this: "Not that I have already attained, nor am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, most of the time when we quote that verse, we stop there. You can't stop there. You must continue the thought. Notice what he said in verse 15. "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." In other words, Paul is using his own life as an example. He said, "I don't think that I have arrived or attained unto everything that the Lord has in store for me. But one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind and I press toward the mark." King James Version says it like this: "For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's nice. And you can read that and say, well, Paul had a great attitude. He forgot the past. He was pressing on towards the future. But then he says this: "Let as many of you as are mature think the same way." And so all of us have to understand this principle of reaching forward for the things that God has in store for us in the future. And so I'm going to share with you today a simple principle. And it's how to successfully turn the page. Many times in life, we need to turn the page. We need to go from one page to the next page. We need to forget what's already occurred. We need to press forward for what is before us. And so we have to know how to do this successfully if we're going to be successful in fulfilling God's purpose and plan for our lives. Now, when Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, what is he talking about? Well, that can refer to places. That can refer to people. That can refer to things. That can refer to time. Many times in life, there are things that we need to leave behind. Now, you have to understand this properly in its context, because you don't leave everything behind, but there are many things you do need to leave behind. And I'll show you what I mean. He also said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, we often think of somebody pressing their way, and it paints a mental picture of a slow, laborious, pushing against something, and sometimes it can seem like a slog, like you're stuck and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pressing. Well, this word dioko in the Greek literally means to run swiftly towards something. Did anybody watch the Clemson-Notre Dame football game yesterday? I did. And I like football. In fact, I like college football sometimes more than the pros. But there was a young guy from Clemson who ran for a 62-yard touchdown. Anybody remember that? Did you see that? This guy got the ball from the quarterback, went right off left tackle, and it was wide open. I mean, that line parted like the Red Sea. And that guy bolted down the field, and there was one guy to beat. And the one guy he had to beat was not as fast as him. And so he shifted towards the sidelines and just outran this guy towards the end zone. And that guy got posterized because he made a dive for it, but he wasn't even close. That is the thought of the word dioko, to run swiftly towards something. It's not a slow, laborious slog, if you will, but it means that you see the goal and you run for it as fast as you can. All right. Now, having said that, in order for that play to be successful, there was a lot of time spent in preparation. There was a lot of film that was watched. There were a lot of diagrams that were made. Other people were involved. The tackles and the guards had to know which way to go and who to block. I bet you that running back knew that safety's last name that he beat towards, you know, to score the touchdown. But he pressed toward the goal line. And that's the thought of this word that Paul the Apostle used. And so we have to learn how to turn the page. You know, many times in sports and other things, plays don't go right. Are you with me? I've seen plays where the guy fumbled the ball, the other team got the ball and scored. Well, what do? Do you quit? Do you tell the referee, that's it, we're finished, you know, just give him the game? No. You get back at it. You come up with another play. You work at winning the game. And the same thing is true in life. Many times we encounter disappointments, things that don't go right. What do? Do you just quit and give up? Do you throw in the towel? You know? Many people can't imagine doing that in an athletic event, but they do it in life. Or they get stuck. You know, 3rd and 10, and you fumble the ball, and somebody else scores. What do? Just sit there? No. You've got to run the next play. Are y'all following along with me? And so we have to learn how to successfully turn the page. Now, turn with me in your Bibles in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And you'll find Habakkuk about 5 pages before Matthew. All right? Habakkuk chapter 2. And there's a classic portion of Scripture here that most of us could probably quote. But let's take a look at it. Learn something. Habakkuk chapter 2. Notice verse 1. Habakkuk the prophet said, I will stand my watch and will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am corrected. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now here Habakkuk is receiving instructions from the Holy Spirit about God's purpose and plan for Israel, and he tells him to write it down. Because the vision is for an appointed time. Now, what is vision? Vision can mean 2 things in the Old Testament, particularly. The Hebrew word literally means a divinely granted appearance. Remember when Moses was on the backside of the desert, and he saw a bush burning that wasn't consumed. Well, he was having a divine encounter. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, take your shoes off, boy. You're standing on holy ground. You know, and Moses had a relationship with God that was like that. One time Moses said to God, he said, I want to see your face. And the Lord was so merciful, said, man, you can't see my face and survive. No man can see my face and live. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in a portion of the rock here, and I'll pass by and let you see the rear end. Okay? And let you get a glimpse of my glory from the back. And that's what happened. But he had a relationship with God like that. It's good to have good relationships. You know that? My wife and I were sharing this morning. She said, it's just incredible, you know, that God treats people special. I said, he'll do that with anybody. He treats us all and considered us, all of us, as being valuable and precious. So now, don't ever fall into this lie thinking that God doesn't love you. Are you kidding me? He loves you more than you can imagine. And so that was a relationship that they had. And if you press in, there again, run swiftly after the things of God, he'll meet you. He will always meet you there. But Moses had the relationship that was that close. In fact, at one point, his sister started to complain and said, you know, who does Moses think he is? Is he the only one that God speaks to? And the Lord wasn't pleased and called Miriam and Aaron to the tabernacle. And here's what the Lord said to him. This is my paraphrase. What are you, crazy? I speak to most prophets in visions and dreams, but this man Moses, I speak to him face to face. And you're going to chew on him because he didn't get your opinion about who he married? That's literally what God said. And Miriam got in trouble. And if it wasn't for Moses' prayers, she would have died. But he did pray for her. And so here in Habakkuk, the Lord is speaking to the prophet and telling him to write the vision. So there are two types of vision, a divinely granted appearance. But there's another type of vision that means to clearly see or perceive something. And so God has a purpose for each and every one of us. But we need vision to see it. Can you agree with that statement? Write the vision, for it's an appointed time. The book of Proverbs 29:18 says, without vision, my people perish. Or without, or because of a lack of knowledge, my people perish. And so you have to understand what God's plan is for you. And then prepare and run after it. Are you with me? But in order to do that, many times you have to turn the page. You can't get stuck on what happened to you last year. You can't get stuck on who hurts you. God is a God of transformation. Think about it. Who you are or what you've been through does not necessarily define who you are in God's eyes. There was a family member of mine who recently had another one of her sons murdered. And so that was two sons murdered. That's a hard thing, to lose a loved one, and especially to lose a loved one like that. And then to lose a second one like that. And so after her son was found, my wife called me. I immediately rushed over to where he lived, and I saw her standing a block away. And I just went up to her, wrapped her up in my arms, and held on to her. And I shared with her one thing. This does not define you. This is not who you are. It may have happened to you, but this is not who you are. Human nature is such that if we're not careful, when bad things happen, we get stuck. You know what I mean when I say that? We get stuck. Tragedy comes and we never leave that place. We camp out there. Have you ever wondered why God buried Moses privately, and to this day nobody knows where his body and his remains lie. Do you know why? God understood one thing about human nature. We have a tendency to get stuck. If the children of Israel had buried Moses, the great deliverer, they would still be in that spot today. Because they'd have camped out there, built a memorial, and never would have left. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you camped out? What are you stuck to? We need to turn the page in many areas if we're going to run for the goal line. You with me? We need to have an understanding of where the goal line is. That's vision. And then we need to prepare to get there. Now, notice something else that Habakkuk said, and I'll sort of weave my way into some of the things that you need to turn the page on. Moses said, "The proud is upright, but the just shall live by his faith." It takes faith to turn the page. It takes faith for the Christian to live. You know, I was amused by something that Marilyn Neubauer said. She said that she had contacted a church that she had ministered at before, and they said, "We'd like to have you come." And they said, "Oh, by the way, we don't do that faith stuff anymore." Remember that? She shared that during one of her messages. And she said, "What do you mean you don't do faith anymore?" "Oh, we've moved on from faith. You know, we're into something else." And she said, "Well, I'm going to be no good for you, because that's what I do. I teach the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word." Habakkuk was the first one to say it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "The just shall live by faith." Then we find it again in Romans 1:16. "The just shall live by faith." We find it again in Galatians 3:11. "The just shall live by faith." We find it again in Hebrews 10:38. "The just shall live by faith." We find it again in 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith," same word, peripateo, which means to walk about or to live, "not by sight." So faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not a dogma. Faith is not a movement. Faith is like the ABCs. Faith is the fundamentals. I don't care how advanced in life you get, you never get beyond the ABCs. You can be an intellectual giant and write a thesis on how prions affect the body or how histamines affect the immune system. But guess what? In order to write that thesis, you need ABCs. In order to live successfully as a Christian, you need to live by faith. And if you don't understand how faith works, it's to your own detriment. Are you with me? The book of Hebrews, talking about the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And people have often said, "Well, you know, that was God's sovereign plan." No, it wasn't. They wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years, going around in circles, when they could have entered into the promised land in less than 2 weeks, if they just believed what God said. And so the writer of Hebrews says, "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." In other words, they heard what God said, but didn't believe what God said. And so their unbelief kept them out. The same thing is true when it comes to your life. You need to believe what God said. Mix faith with whatever God has purposed for you if you're going to score the touchdown. Right, Doug? You know, and it's up to you. It's not up to God. You know, you can score the touchdown or you can fumble. Your choice. Amen? Touchdowns are so much better. Now, listen, I'm not a football nut, so don't think that everything I do has to do with football. But God wants you to successfully turn the page. Now, watch this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me tie all this together for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's a passage that really, really speaks volumes. Most people read this and just slide right over it. And they don't understand the import of what's being said here. But watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we can, by beholding God's Word, looking into that mirror, behold the glory of the Lord, and be transformed into the same image. Now, there's a key here in the beginning of this verse, and it talks about we all with unveiled face. What does a veil do? It hides things. And so what Paul the Apostle is trying to get over to us is if we're going to advance from glory to glory or go from faith to faith, we need to take off the veil. That means we need to stop hiding things. Here's another way to say it. Be honest. Make an honest assessment of your life. You know what's great? Nobody knows you like you. Nobody knows you like you. And deep down on the inside, you know what's going on in your life. Deep down on the inside, you know whether you're obeying the Lord or not. Deep down on the inside, you know if you're doing what God wants you to do or not. Nobody has to tell you. You know. On the inside. I shared with somebody years ago because I was watching their method of evangelism. And I thought it was ineffective. And they were, in effect, telling people, well, you know, you better quit smoking them cigarettes. You're going to hell. That was it. And so I shared with them. I said, you know, you really don't have to tell them that. What they're looking for is a way out. They know they're going to hell. They're looking for somebody to show them a way out. Okay? And they'll go after anything to appease their mind so that they can avoid that thought. They'll cling to all kind of different religions and cults. What you need to do is love them. And share the light of the Word with them. That'll help them. You don't have to tell them they're going to hell. They know it. Are you with me? Can you identify with that before you got saved? Nobody really had to preach that to you. You had an inkling on the inside of you that you better change some things. Are you with me? The greatest change is Jesus Christ. Now, here's something that's very interesting here. With unveiled face, that means we need to make an honest assessment of where we are. And then have the vision that God gives us so that we can make a proper change. Notice it says we are transformed and we go from glory to glory. Here's another way to say that. We go from one glorious place to the next glorious place. Here's something I want you to know. You don't go from mess to glory. No, so you need to take God's Word, you need to mix faith with it, make your present circumstance glorious, and then that signals to the Holy Spirit that it's time for Him to open the door for the next glorious place. Because you made this place glorious. Can you see that? That's how transformation comes. I mean, God is a master of transformation. We talked about Moses. Moses didn't start where he ended up. He was a stuttering murderer. And God made him Israel's deliverer. Think about it. Gideon was a coward hiding from the Midianites. And God made him a champion. Abraham was a moon worshiper. That's what his family did. And he ended up being called the friend of God. And the father of faith. David went from shepherd boy to giant killer and king. Gideon, we talked about him. Rahab went from being, here's a nice old English word, harlot. In our modern vernacular, she was a hoe. And she ended up being the great, great grandmother of David the king. Transformation. Saul went from the persecutor of the church, hauling Christians off to prison, held the coats when they stoned Stephen to death. Went from Saul to Paul the Apostle, the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament. And listen to this. This is the guy who wrote to one church and said, "Receive us, for we have wronged no man. We have defrauded no man." Wait a minute. This is the same dude who used to haul Christians off to prison. How could he make that statement with a straight face? He had turned the page. That old lifestyle was gone. You with me? He had turned the page. See, what you've experienced is not who you are necessarily. You need to look in the mirror, find out who you are, and allow the Word of God mixed with your faith to bring transformation. Don't get stuck. Transformation. It's available to all of us. Somebody needs to turn their phone off. All right. We need to go from glory to glory, from one glorious place to the next glorious place. All right, so what do we need to turn the page on? Number one, we need to turn the page on the old lifestyle. You know, the Scripture tells us, put off the old man, put on the new man. Well, that's not something God's going to do for you. That's something you got to do. In other words, you got to make some tough decisions. Are you with me? Sometimes they're not popular. Who cares? You know, the older I get, the less I care about what people think. I do. The older I get, the less I care about what people think. Now, that doesn't mean that I have a bad attitude and I'm like a bull in a china closet. No, I want people to like me, think well of me, know I'm a person of integrity and character. You know what I mean? But I'm not hiding from anybody. But if somebody doesn't like what I say or what I do, that's their business. You know? If you only knew some of the crazy stuff that people have come at me with. I've shared this story several times, but I remember we were still over on French Street. Some of you were with us when we were over on French Street. And we had a capital campaign. We're saving money to buy this building and all that stuff. And I had a fellow call and leave me a message on the answering machine about what to do with our money. He said, "Here's what you need to do." And I thought, that's interesting. I'm thinking, who is this guy? Well, I know he'd never been to our church. Number one. Number two, he'd never given us a dime. So number three, you know what I did with his advice? Delete. I don't care what he thinks. You know? It's just crazy what people will do. I had a fellow recently. I'm in the rotation for the Erie Times News. They have a reflections column. So once a year, I write a little column in the faith section on Saturday. Well, this last time I wrote the reflections column, I had a guy write me a letter about what I wrote. And I didn't share this with anybody. My wife doesn't even know about it. And he clipped my article out and attached it to the letter. And I read that letter. It is the most bizarre piece of stuff you've ever seen in your life. And I thought, what in the world is this stuff? And so you know what I did? I put it on the shelf. Well, the guy's got a mental problem. Nothing I can do about that. Hey, if you're watching us by television, thanks for tuning in. You're watching Faith as a Lifestyle. If you want to hear the rest of this message, go to our website. I'll get it out. mgcconline.org, and you can hear the rest of the message. Until next week, keep putting your faith in God's Word. Amen? Amen. All right. I got to do that every 28 minutes for television. But anyway, this guy wrote me this crazy letter about my article in the paper. And I'm trying to figure out, why did he do that? You know, and then to cut it out. And I mean, I know what I wrote. You don't have to send it back to me. You know, but he had some bizarre twist on what I wrote. And so, you know, it'll end up in file 13. You know what that one is? That's the little round circular file in the. Hey, don't let what people say sway you from what you know to be true or what you know to be God's purpose for your life. Here's another way to say it. When that safety is running at you, don't let him stop you from scoring. Are you with me? Are you going to stop and lay down, let him tackle you? Or are you going to run over the guy or run past him? Are you with me? You have one thing in line, the goal line. The goal line. Don't get distracted. Okay, so we need to turn the page on the old lifestyle. We also need to turn the page on things and people that are unprofitable. You know what I mean when I say unprofitable? In other words, don't drag them across the goal line with you. They'll weigh you down. You know, I have had some good friends over the years. Many of my friends that I had 20, 30 years ago are still dear friends today. But I've had a couple that I had to leave behind. Anybody know what I mean? Because it was too dangerous to hang out with these people. It would be a detriment to me to hang out with these people. And so things and people that are unprofitable. Here's another thing we need to turn the page on. Past mistakes and failures. We've all made mistakes. I'll be at the front of the line when it comes to making mistakes. But you know what? Your mistakes don't define you. That's not who you are. You know, people often talk about King David. But I mean, here's a wonderful thing about the Bible. The Bible doesn't hide anything. You notice that? It tells you everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. There's some strong stuff in the Scripture. David made some terrible mistakes. But yet, they did not define him. He is considered today to be the gold standard for all of the kings of Israel, other than the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in the Old Testament, he was so revered that the prophets would write in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and they would talk about kings that came after him. And they would say, Hosea reigned so many years and he did this and did not serve the Lord as his father David did. David was the gold standard. David made some classic mistakes, but he never repeated the same mistake twice. Are you with me? I heard an athlete say this years ago. He said, if you're still making the same mistakes at 50 that you made at 20, you haven't learned anything. Did you get that? If you're still making the same mistakes at 50 that you made at 20, you haven't learned anything. I had a businessman say this to me one time years ago. And he wasn't talking to me directly, but he was talking to another guy. And he said this, why do you keep making the same mistakes when there are so many new ones you could be making? You keep running around the same old tree, you know? Well, once you conquer that thing, move on. Don't get stuck. You'll have plenty of opportunities to make mistakes. But be like David. Never make the same mistake twice. Are you with me? Learn from it and move on. Here's the last thing that I'll share with you. When it comes to turning the page, just as I said about faith, we never leave faith. Faith is the way we live. But many times we have to turn the page and build upon good things like past victories and revelation that we have received. Are you with me? See, there are some things in life that are foundational. You will never get away from them. Faith is one of them. But when it comes to foundations, you need to build upon it. Are you with me? The more sure your foundation, the taller your structure can be as you continue to build. But you don't throw out the foundation when it comes time to build the frame. You don't start over and say, well, we got a foundation, let's build the frame over here. No, the frame needs to go on the foundation. Then you need to build on it. So many times you can look back at past victories, great things that God has done in your life, and build on them. Don't forget them. Are you with me? So you don't forget everything. You turn the page on many things. But I think of David when he was challenged by Goliath. This is a life and death situation. Everybody else is scared. Here's an expression that I often use, spitless. You know what I mean when I say that? You're so scared you can't spit? Anyway, it was a fearful time. And there was a giant who came down in the valley twice a day and said, send me a man that we may fight together. And when Israel heard his words, they were afraid and they ran. But David stood before the king and said, "Hey, when I was keeping my father's sheep, a lion came after him and I killed the lion. Another time, a bear came after him and I killed the bear. And you know what? This giant will be just like them." What is he doing? He's rehearsing past victories and building on them. He knew that if God did it then, he'll do it now. And a lion and a bear are no different than a giant. They all have to bow their knee. Are you with me? So learn to turn the page on things that will drag you down. Learn to turn the page and prevent yourself from getting stuck. All of us face hurts and disappointments in life. Don't let them define you. Learn to turn the page on old lifestyle and bad habits. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Allow it to transform the way you live. And then build on past successes and victories. But be just like that running back from Clemson. When that hole opens up on the line, you better be ready to bolt for the end zone. Are you with me? That's what it means to press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thought that was pretty good, didn't you? Did you learn anything? Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus.